the Byzantine masculinity at war, an approach on the manliness of Helmy in the Middle Byzantine era. Dr. Marilili Kaki, postdoctoral researcher. National and Kapodistrian University of Athens. Grisha Faculty of History and Archaeology, School of Philosophy, Panepistimia Polycampus, Zagrafa 157-72. Email, mlykaki@art.air.gr. Abstract, as a social phenomenon war affects soldiers and civilians, men and women. The present contribution aims to examine various conceptions of masculinities within a military context during the Middle Byzantine era. The identity of the Byzantine soldier is tightly connected with a specific type of masculinity that is derived from the Roman past and the Christian religion. The evolution of the military system during the Middle Era creates new types of soldiers that are called to oppose the powerful enemies of the empire. Victorious engagements typically result in moral principles that are in contrast with those found while in state of defeat. Thus, in this study, special attention will be given to the soldiers' identity and behavior during their captivity. It is interesting to explore how the transitional situation affects the characteristics of the Middle Byzantine combatant masculinity. Keywords: Byzantine history, Byzantine Empire, masculinity, war, Christianity, soldiers, captives. Recibido, November 18, 2019, Acceptida, April 27, 2020. Audio note: special characters that were not possible to reproduce by this format were removed in this article. The approach of masculinity as an analytical category in historical research often raises discord among historians. Me. Stewart, 2014, some disputes surrounding masculinity as a legitimate category of historical inquiry in the study of late antiquity, Masculinities 1, 77-91. Particularly in the field of Byzantine history, the relevant studies are scarce and masculinity is often not their main question, but results from the study of other subjects. This paper attempts to contribute to this field by focusing, however, in various perceptions of masculinity within a military context during the Middle Byzantine era. Even though medieval society had drawn up distinct gender behavior for men and women, war as a social phenomenon affects all, men and women, soldiers and civilians. The identity of the Byzantine soldier is inextricably intertwined with a specific type of masculinity that is derived from the Roman past and the Christian religion. The evolution of the military system during the Middle Era creates new types of soldiers that are called to oppose the powerful enemies of the empire. Victorious engagements typically result in moral principles that are in contrast to those found while in a state of defeat. Thus, in this study, special attention will be given to cases that reflect soldiers' identity and behavior before battle or during captivity. Captivity is a transitional situation that could lead either to freedom or slavery. Therefore, it is interesting to explore how captivity affects the characteristics of the Middle Byzantine combatant masculinity. Primary Byzantine sources, historiographical, hagiological and military manuals, along with modern studies are integrated, in order to create a greater sense of how Middle Byzantine secular and ecclesiastical writers linked representations of military valor to their notions of the qualities that merit manliness. Initially, we need to define the notion of masculinity and gender, as it will be analyzed in this paper. As a tool of research, rather than the biological differences of sex, gender refers to the differences between men and women in terms of the differences created by societies. Is quoted T.O.L. James, Editor 1997, Women, Men, and Eunuchs. Gender in Byzantium, London, New York, Introduction, page 17. Therefore, it can be considered as a social construction, which means that one's perception of the world or of ideas develops through interaction with the society that surrounds him. Therefore, the social environment in which one grows up and lives plays a decisive role in how one assumes such a flexible concept as masculinity. The biological and social dimensions are not identical, nor can they be separated, as the changes within society give meaning to biological characteristics, a necessary condition for the existence of societies. It follows from the above that the discussion for the history of masculinity needs to be further expanded to include a fuller analysis of its interaction with other determinants of status. In particular, concerning the question of manliness and war, it cannot be fully understood until we know more about the range of alternatives available to men and the processes by which they shaped and were shaped by relations of power between men and women. This requires an approach to masculinity through variant categories such as class, age, marital status, ethnicity and religious identity. See also Karen Harvey, Alexandra Shepherd, April 2005, What Have Historians Done with Masculinity? Reflections on 5 Centuries of British History, circa 1500 to 1950, Journal of British Studies 44, pages 274 to 280. In recent years, the study of gender has moved away from the longer narratives, while interest has shifted from the impersonal structures and mechanisms of power to everyday life, to the subjectivity of experience, and to the tactics for the management of power. Gender is a component of social relations, based on the perceptible differences between the genders and is the primary manner for making sense of power relations. Is quoted T.O.J.W. Scott, 1986, Gender. A Useful Category of Historical Analysis, American Historical Review, 91, 5, pages 1053-1075, reprinted. In, 1988, J.W. Scott, Gender and the Politics of History, New York, page 28-50. Such a research aims at the historicization of manhood as an experience, as a mental process or action, as a cultural representation or performance. Thus, manhood is primarily a gender-based relationship rather than a fixed category or identity, formed hierarchically in relation to and through a negotiation not only with femininity, but also as to a series of different male models, in its entanglement with other types of differences, as it has already been said. How gender is understood articulates the values of a society and therefore its ideas of order. R.F. Taft, 1998, Women at Church in Byzantium. Where, when, and why? Dumbarton Oaks Papers, 52, pages 27-87, reprinted. In, 2001, R.F. Taft, Divine Liturgies. Human Problems in Byzantium, Armenia, Syria and Palestine, Aldershot. And what should be striven for? Especially for the Byzantine period, the approach through gender helps to illuminate foundational values of the society between Greek, Roman and Christian attitudes to the body and spirit, and between Christian aspirations and the values of the Byzantine world from late antiquity to the late Byzantine era is quoted. Todd Casey, 2013, The Spiritual Valency of Gender in Byzantine Society, in B. Neil L. Garland, Editors, Questions of Gender in Byzantine Society, Surrey. If there are archetypes in the male image, they must be largely culturally constructed as symbolic systems, not simply as products of anatomy, because anatomy determines little in those contexts where the moral imagination gets involved. See also D. Gilmore, 1990, Manhood in the Making, Cultural Concepts of Masculinity, New Haven, page 23. This is the meeting point where the discussion about manliness meets with the studies on war as a social and cultural phenomenon. Even if during belligerent situations civilians also take actions, principal actors are the military forces. It is interesting that when the writers refer to women who had to participate in a combat, for instance during the conquest of their own city, they attribute to them masculine characteristics. Audio note. In Greek. Mikro. A. E. Mikro. D. E. T. Women became men, is an indicative example from Statius of Thessaloniki, edited. Kyriakides, Statio di Thessalonica, Las Bognazioni di Thessalonica in Sito Siciliano di Studi Byzantini Neo Ellenicit, Test Emanumeni, Test 5, Palermo 1961, page 90. Several cases also in Ioannis Kamenicha di Crescentiae Thessalonici, editor G. Bellike CFHB 4, Berlin N. York 1973. Manliness has always been a synonym of the army. And the latter has always been a matter of vital importance for the Eastern Roman Empire as its existence has often been judged in the battlefields. The army is for the state what the head is for the body is quoted T.O.J. Zeppus and P. Zeppus, editor P. C.E. von Zedling Gentle, Novelli 8 Orbului Imperator and Post Justinian them, audio note. In Greek Jews Greco-Romanian 1, Eln. C. and Chevelic, 1962, Novella 8, page 222.1. Spec. S. Mikulat. F. T. P. 10. S. T. 10. Mikro according to a 10th C. novella that gives the essence of the idea of the army. Furthermore, it is the glory of the emperor and the force of the palace according to the 11th C. author Kecumnus in his Strategicon, a manual on military and household affairs. See also Cumnus, Strategicon, Editor G. Litafrum, Savity Irakazi Kekavmana, Pauchini Visainte. Skorgo Pokovitska 11th Eka, St. Petersburg 2003, hereafter. Kecumnus, Strategicon, Par. 87, page 308. Audio note. In Greek. St. At. St. D. At. Ses. A. T. Par. At. D. A micro. See also that digital edition of Charlotte Roueche. www.ancientwisdoms.eb.uk. Spread initially over three continents and then two continents, the empire had to simultaneously deal with attacks on numerous fronts. So, beyond its highly sophisticated diplomacy, it also required a large and capable army and fleet. I believe it is true that, as is often said, military organization along with law are the points of the Roman heritage for which the Byzantine Empire became the most faithful heir and follower. In the middle era, changes occurred in the defense which further reinforced it as it faced the particularly powerful enemies appearing in the north and, mainly, the eastern front. The empire was served by various soldiers who could be classified according to their relationship with the central authority and the way in which they were recruited. Therefore, next to the imperial tagmatic units were self-supporting thematic militia, full-time theme soldiers supported by state salaries and other emoluments and mercenaries, professionals recruited for particular regiments or for particular campaigns that became more and more employed during the 11th century and the late Byzantine era. There is an extensive bibliography on the thematic army. See A. Protusus, 1958, La Formation des Themes Byzantines, in Brictism 11. Internationalen Byzantinischen Kongress, München, 1240. Helton J.F., 1979, Recruitment and Conscription in the Byzantine Army, c. 552-950. A study on the origins of the Stratiotika Ktem Ata Stratischa Atomigda Wienschaften, Fillers. Histlash, Sixtrings Brichter, 357, Wien. Helton J., Cameron Averill. 1995, 7th century continuities. The Arab and the thematic myth, in States, Resources, Armies, the Byzantine and Islamic Near East, 3/Studies in Late Antiquity and Early Islam, 1, Princetone, 379-423. Vasiliki Velocidi and Others, 1998, Asia Minor and its Themes. Studies on the Geography and Prosopography of the Byzantine Themes of Asia Minor, 7th LLTH Century. In Greek Research Series, 1, National Hellenic Research Foundation, Institute for Byzantine Research, Athens, C. Zuckerman, 2005, Learning from the Enemy and More. Studies in Dark Centuries Byzantium, Millennium 2, page 125f. F. Eragia, 2012, The Geography of the Provincial Administration of the Byzantine Empire, about 600-1200. I. 3. Apotheca of Africa and Sicily, Final Notes and Conclusions, Oakai Espri A. 8, 2012, pages 113-144. Also, is quoted T.O.J. Shepherd, 1993, The Uses of the Franks in 11th Century Byzantium, Anglo-Norman Studies 15, pages 282-281. G. That Turkish, 2012, Ross, Varangian and Frankish Mercenaries in the Service of the Byzantine Empress, 9th, 11th C. Numbers, the Organization and Battle Tactics in the Operational Theatres of Asia Minor and the Balkans. A. T. S. Micro E. Tar 22, page 125-156. Marililikaki, Nedfsika Vasilopoulou, 2018, Mercenaries of Byzantium. Their role during the transition from the middle to the late Byzantine era, in Kolia Dermidzaki, V. Saramido, S.P. Plaumidis, Editor. Likaki, Collab. Histories of War in Southeastern Europe, and Approaching the Longue Durée. A centenary since the Balkan Wars of 1, 9, 1, 2, 1, 3. International Scientific Conference of the Department of History and Archaeology, 7-9 November 2013, Athens, pages 162-175, with large bibliography on the subject, especially the farmer-soldier correlation, part of the thematic army, certainly added to the military profile characteristics of a manliness closer to ordinary men. Unfortunately, on the middle and upper levels of officers, the sources are not sparing. Although it seems to exist a substantial meritocratic element, by the middle of the 11th century Byzantium saw the growth of a powerful provincial aristocracy that itself provided a major source of recruits to the middle and senior officers' positions. Is quoted T.O.J. Helton, 2014, Byzantium at War, at 600-1453, Oxford, page 63. Byzantine sources often seem to attribute a different ethos to the soldiers of these different groups. Mercenary troops are reproached for their opportunism and betrayal of principles. See, for example, in George Pachymius, Editor A. Fehler, George's Pachymius Relations Historics, 4 livres 10-12 CFHB 24 fourths, Institut Français d'Etudes Byzantines, Paris 1999, Volume 4, pages 529-529, where he mentions, audio note, this paragraph contains special characters that are not possible to reproduce by this format. Besides, the observance of discipline imposed by the Byzantine defensive system considered boldness punishable. For instance, it was prohibited by the so-called military laws, the single attack on enemies. C.T. Collier's 1997 audio note, in Greek, est, at, t, e, microeta, at, t, s, a, t, s, p. Trangos, editor. Micro A T Micro Est T Athens, pages 295-316. There is no common attitude towards soldiers. In specific periods or in specific areas, soldiers are the defenders of their property and life, and for others the representatives of repression on behalf of the central government. Life in the army involved a quite different sort of daily routine from life in a civilian context or from that in less disciplined and organized neighboring armies. The author of a 6th century military handbook makes this abundantly clear. Nature produces but few brave men, whereas care and training make efficient soldiers. Dastredjikon Desmarikios, editor G.T. Dennis, trans. E. Gamilsk CFHB, 17, Vienna 1981, V. Pro. M. 1. V. B. 9. J. Helton, 1999, Warfare, State and Society in the Byzantine World 5, 6, 5, 1, 2, 0, 4, Warfare and History London, hereafter. Helton, Warfare, page 265. The use of the word D. E. and the changing significance that it may have for the Middle Byzantine writers illustrates, I believe, in some level, the ideal constructed for the perfect military leader and soldier. The notion of D. E. A. Andra, a word originating from a man, as virux is derived from vir, man, designates the activity and quality associated with the noun from which it is derived and characterizes the ideal behavior of a man. In addition, D. E. A holds a central part in war, politics and religion. A. Miles MacDonald, 2006, Roman Manliness. Virts and the Roman Republic, Cambridge, page 75. One of the primary terms for Greco-Roman conceptualizations of manhood. D. E. A. can mean either manliness or courage, depending on the context used by the author. On war manliness in early Byzantine era, see the article of M. Stewart, 2006, Soldier's Life. Early Byzantine Masculinity and the Manliness of War, Byzantine Emeagd 26, pages 11-44. The changes that had taken place from the early to the middle Byzantine era also brought changes to the male role model and to the manners of acquiring and perceiving the concept of bravery, which often accompanies gallantry, prudence and wisdom. As Ecclesiastes states that the noble Romans were fighting for glory and courage and to save their homeland and its greatness and not for material motives. Audio note, in Greek, P, A, P, T, P, T, S, E, E, stat, micro, t, at, e, a, t, D E E A micro A D A P D A T D A pat D S T A ten A a micro P T tar Michele Zatalia at a historia editor THE Solakis CFHB 50 Academia Athenienensis Athens 2011 hereafter Etalids Historia pages 169 to 170 for the notion of on the and Etalids see also Keston 1984 the social views of Michael Etalids in Keston editor S Franklin collab Studies on Byzantine Literature of the 11th and 12th Centuries, Cambridge, pages 38-39, A. Keston, Anne Warden Eckstein, 1985, Change in Byzantine Culture in the 11th and 12th Centuries, Berkeley, Los Angeles. In particular, the intellectual growth and the spreading of Christianity during the period under investigation have ended up shaping the medieval world and beyond. Nevertheless, it is important to keep in mind that, even the changes in the forms of masculinity are never wholly assimilated by individuals but are in dialogue with earlier, often conflicting, social and cultural scripts. According to R. W. Onnell, 1995, Masculinities, Cambridge, page 73, any one masculinity, as a configuration of practice, is simultaneously positioned in a number of structures of relationship, which may be following different historical trajectories. But, as Mark Bloch has pointed out, it is to the great despair of historians, men failed to change their vocabulary every time they change their customs. M. Bloch, 2006, Apology pour l'histoire et l'immédiate historien, in Ann. Becker, E. Bloch, Editors, Mark Bloch. L'histoire, la guerre, la résistance, Paris, page 872. To shed light on soldiers' masculinities and investigate the subtleties of change, we need a closer analysis of individual or group experience before and after the battle. The narrative sources referring to the army's behavior as a whole fall short in numbers as to those individually pertaining to military officers. Byzantine historians do not find anonymous soldiers as interesting as military leaders often with a noble origin and a glorious past in the battlefield. R. J. Lilly, 2013, Die Byzantinische Gesellschaft im Spiegel ihrer Quellen, ZBORNIK Radov Weisentelika Institute of 50, pages 959-968. Athina Kolia Dermidzaki, 2018 Auto Note, in Greek. St. At. A. St. At. T. Ape. S. T. Stair. St. F. A. T. E. Micro E. A. 10. 12. A. N. Kolia Dermidzaki, V. Zeranito, S.P. Plaumidis, Editor. Likaki, Collab. Histories of War in Southeastern Europe, an approach in the longue durée. A centenary since the Balkan Wars of 1912-13. International Scientific Conference of the Department of History and Archaeology, 7-9 November 2013, Athens, pages 179-206 Significance is given to the narration when it comes to the exploits of the emperor himself, such as Heraclius. Non-martial Byzantine empress may have also promoted their own martial and masculine ideology, like the intellectual Constantinus VII Porphyrogenetus with his precious writings on strategy and army. Moving from the early to the middle period one must add to the masculinity of the ideal leader the qualities of piety, devotion to the emperor, noble origin, beauty and vigor. The patriarch Nikolaos Imlisticus in his letters adds to the above mentioned meekness and wisdom. Is quoted to Nicholas I, Patriarch of Constantinople, Letters, Editor R. J. Jenkins, L. G. Westra Inc. CFHB 6, Washington, D.C. 1973, Letter 18 Nikephoros Phokas, Demosticus of the Scholae, seems to concentrate those virtues at his time. See Athina Kolia Dermidzaki, 2012, About Virtue and Vice. The Byzantine Officials in Historiographical Sources, Part I, Political and Military Officials of the 9th and 10th Centuries, Athens, in Greek, pages 242-242. In the 12th century, the philanthropic attitude toward the soldiers or the defeated enemy and generosity complete the profile. For the 11th and 12th centuries in particular, the subject is studied by Triangfali Tsimenieti Kokkinmi, 1997. Ep. D. A. D. E. A. S. T. P. E. Micro. At. T. S. T. T. 11. A. 12. A. A. N. Xenakis, editor, Byzantium at War, 9th, 12th C, in, audio note, in Greek, E micro P, E micro, T, 9, 12, A, NHRF / IBR, International Symposium 4, Athens, page 239-259. The author also relates the terms used by the Byzantine historians to investigate rather they thought more of the physical qualities than the spiritual virtues. But, while the moderate coexistence of these physical and mental strengths led to courage, which is praised by historians, the mental qualities that led to bravery are sometimes excessive, becoming a disadvantage. Courage then becomes audacity or irrational boldness. Nevertheless, frequent references I also make to soldiers as a whole, whose valor and gallantry contribute to victory. Of course, writers are sparing when it comes to anonymous soldiers, as Nicetas Coniate states. Is quoted Tom Iseter Coniate Historia, editor J. A. Van Dieten, CFHB 11, Berlin, New York, 1975, page 187. That disgrace for cowardice in the battlefield rather understandably includes the ridicule of the great soldier as a woman. There are plenty of cases of mutiny and unrest among the provincial armies, and the examples of troops panicking when the commander was thought to have been killed or injured is evidence of the variable psychological condition of the troop. Sheldon, Warfare, page 264. Furthermore, brave undertakings are characterized as manly and youthful acts. For example, in Ioannis Skylides's Synopsis Historium, editor Thurn CFHB 5, Berlin, New York 1973, hereafter, Skylides says, page 380, comments for Constantinos Dalsenius, who was fleeing from the opponents during the expedition of Remenos III of Gyros in Syria, causing great confusion and disorder in the army beyond. However, the acclamation, the demonstration of valor, could also lead to tangible gifts for the bravery of military men. See also JCL. Chained, La Politique Militaire Byzantine de Bessil II Alexis Carwoman, ZBORNIK Radovivis Antiliska Institute 29-230, 1991, page 69. Byzantine historians of the time, when narrating the frequent wars between the Byzantium and its neighbors or the barbarian raiders, directly and critically refer to the military virtues and to the group and personal performance of combatants. Sources, for example, when referring to the attempt by Emperor Basil II to move through the pass of Clidene in 1014, state that the Bulgarian ruler Samuel had placed decent guardians who bravely resisted and fled and when General Nikephoros Kissiphorus ambushed them. Samuel himself escaped capture with the aid of his son Gabriel Remenos, who bravely received the attackers. This successor is characterized as stronger than his father but less wise, is quoted Toskylites says, pages 348-34, 46-48. For the Byzantine author, the achievement of the Byzantine general was greater because the enemy's soldiers were decent and brave. Particular reference can be made to eunuchs, who have been the subject of numerous studies. Here some indicative titles. Liz James, editor 1997, Women, Men and Eunuchs, Gender in Byzantium, London, New York, M. Kuffler, 2001, The Manly Eunuch, Masculinity, Gender Ambiguity, and Christian Ideology in Late Antiquity, Chicago, Catherine M. Ringrose, 2003, The Perfect Servant, Eunuchs and the Social Construction of Gender in Byzantium, Chicago, S.F. Tuffer, 2013, Bidding Byzantium. Masculinity, Eunuchs and the Byzantine Life Course, in, N. Brenwen and L. Garland, Linde, Editors, Questions of Gender in Byzantine Society, Farnham, pages 153-166. Mrs. C.H. Les Uniques Byzantines, entre Allied et Imogen et Ossiers Byzantines 14 Paris 2014. Their frequent treatment by Byzantine authors as individuals who had transgressed their gender construct is evidence of just how confirmed gender categories were within the Byzantine culture. Eunuchs served in the army and could even rise to very high ranks. Irene Christa, 2008 audio note, in Greek, T, at, E, S, A, P, T, P, A, T, T, Pa, at, Est, T, S, T, S, A, T, D, S, T, 8, A, 11, A, Athens, except, of course, that of the empire which required an able-bodied individual. Such examples include Euthyrius during the reign of Theodosius and Arcadius, Narses, the general at Justinian I, Theoctistus and Michael during the reign of Leo III, and many more. Basil II sent his most loyal eunuch, Orestes, on the campaign to Sicily, but sources blame him for the disastrous defeat, as he was so worthless and inexperienced in war that the bravery of the troops could not prevail. Kylite says, page 368, 383, see also Helnewala, 1966, 10. Byzance et la Mer, Paris 1966, page 123. Sources also mention, in 1047, 10 generals from the noble and prudent and bravely martyred Saracens, noting, obviously in a negative demeanor, that the Emperor Constantine Monomachos placed eunuch Nikephoros, an old priest, in charge of the eastern battalions in the campaign, honoring him as rector and military commander, not because he was engaged and active in warfare, but because he had the king's favors. Kylite says, page 444 and nice for Brienius, history. Dittem page 13-19 Cuti, CFHB 9, Bruxelles 1975, hereafter, Brienius, page 9, 3, 1, 5. It is also said that, in 1030, an anonymous eunuch who was a ship steward, in order to save his possessions during an Arab attack, fiercely stormed the enemies, while none of the generals and soldiers dared proceed in the name of bravery. Is quoted Toskylite says, page 381. Moving on, important elements for exploring the question of manhood and whether it is influenced by the state of captivity can be found in cases of soldiers who were captured, although there is no homogenization of the conditions here, either. The approach to captured soldiers varied and depended on numerous factors, such as whether they were prominent officers, ordinary soldiers, what treaties had been reached and what practices had been established between the Byzantium and the rival holding the prisoners, whether they had some sort of expertise, thus making them useful to the opponent, and, of course, whether they had the intention of converting to another religion, as regards prisoners between Christians and Muslims. The Tathiker of Leo VI advised the general, do not kill the prisoners before the end of the war, particularly those who are illustrious and important to the enemy. Keep in mind that fortune is fickle and victory may be overturned. Should some of your men be taken prisoner or one of your castles sacked, you will be able to exchange them, and in return for the enemy prisoners you may take back your friends and allies. However, if the enemy does not wish to do that, you have every right to retaliate, acting according to your wishes so that you may harm the enemy. The Tathiker of Leo VI. Text, translation and commentary, Editor G. Dennis, CFHB 49 Washington 2010, Kens 16, Par 9. According to this, it seems that it could be an agreement with the enemy to exchange prisoners if that would be for the benefit of the Byzantines and especially the eminent and important to the enemy, like highly ranked officers of the army or soldiers who could also serve as informants of Iapatera, 1944, the prisoners of war as agents of communication and information, 4th, 10th C, Athens. The following episode is indicative of the importance of soldiers as captives. During an exchange, Alagian, in 846 the Byzantines refused to accept elderly men and women as well as very young children from the Muslim side because, as they were saying, the Muslim prisoners they had in their possession for exchange were all soldiers. The story is narrated by Al-Abari, The History of Al-Tabari, trans. Kemant. F. Rosenthal and others. 18 Vels, Albany 1985-1998. In addition, captivity could be a situation that divests people from their social characteristics. For the Byzantine state, the attitude towards prisoners of war, as it was inherited from the Roman world, began to change due to the influence of Christianity and the reality that was shaped from the appearance of new enemies. The conversion of prisoners into slaves was a general rule for the neighboring foes, as was in fact the case with the Byzantines. Between Byzantium and the Arabs, religious dichotomy was also political, but, in the issue of slaves and free civilians, the two states had a similar approach. Byzantium was trying to take back the soldiers and citizens who fell into the hands of the Arabs as captives, considering them free and not slaves, with the same also applying to the opposite side. The numerous Byzantines under captivity that could be liberated, through an exchange or ransom, killed or could stay with the opponent, created new conditions that the Byzantine state tried to resolve also through legislation. In my doctoral thesis, I elaborate this subject, giving also an exhaustive bibliography. Marilikaki, Les prisoniers de guerre dans l'Empire Byzantine, VIEX-IES. Ledlis, Ledchet, La diplomatie et la dimension sociale, PhD Dis. National and Capodistrian University of Athens / École pratique des hautes études, Athens, 2016. Access to August 18, 2017. Digital publication. HTTP. Thesis EPGR / Thesis Bookrata / IP / 37409. Hereafter. Likaki, Les prisoniers de guerre. The Byzantine law was ready, under conditions, to give back to free Byzantines their place. Canard, 1956, Quelxicote, De l'histoire des relations entre Byzance et les Arabes, in Studi Medieval in Enerdi Georgio Levi della Vita, Roma, page 98-119. Representative in, 1973, Byzance et les musulmans du Roche-Orient, Verorum Reprints, London, 15, gives a list of prominent emissaries on behalf of both the Arab caliphs and the Byzantine emperors with the task of exchanging prisoners. It is true that simple soldiers were more likely to become prisoners of war. Indeed, military men had to have shown bravery before they were captured, demonstrating that they had not chosen a disgraceful enslavement over the glorious death for the homeland. Is quoted top. Docs, 1979, La Liberation Medievale, Paris 1979, page 10-14. The following reference to examples can be helpful to clarify the different standards. On August 15, 838, Caliph Al-Mutahim, to avenge the occupation of Sotsoitra by the Byzantine army of Thepilus, besieged and destroyed Emoan. The invasion was called the Falling of the False by Agutamim in a poem describing the tragedy. Experienced soldiers had undertaken the city's defense. The strategos, general, of the Thema of Anatolikon Patrician Etios. Demsticus of the Pscubita and Protosatharius Thephilos. Drarabgarius of the Vglia Patrician Babusikus and the Demsticus of the Hyarnatae or strategos of the Bausilarii Protosatharius Odorus Craterus, who was in charge of a unit of 3,000 soldiers. F. Winkelmans and others, Prosiographie der Metel Byzantinischen Zeit, Volumes 125, 1998-2003, Years 641-867 and, 2013, Years 867-1025, Berlin, Brandenburg, hereafter, PMB. Number 7679. Byzantine and Arabic sources describe the massacre of the city's men and the capture of women and children. Byzantine sources do not fail to name the many prominent prisoners who were arrested, referring to officials and generals and, in fact, providing the names of patricians Callistus Melis and Yestormach Shivkoloniak. No. 3606, Constantinos Vapautsikas, Protosatharius Odorus Craterus, Dromus Vasuia and Patrician Theophilus Gylitzes, page 78. Also see Martyrian, text B, in Skazania 042 Emory Isaacic Musniak, editor B. Vasilevskich, P. Nikitin, Memoirs de l'Académie Imperiale des Sciences DST. Petersburg, Vasari, volume 7, number 2, ST. Petersburg 1905, page 29. They are the people who led the 42 martyr phalanx Gylitzes, page 75. Imionis Magistri 8 Logothetic Chronicum, editor St. Wehrhorgren CFHB 44, Berlin, New York 2006, hereafter. Hymen Magistros, pages 242-248. The majority of the prisoners were sold on the spot at slave markets, yet prominent citizens and Byzantine officials, such as those mentioned above, were transferred to Tarsus, where they awaited an exchange, Alagian, with the Arabs captured by the Byzantines, which took place on September 16, 845. The exchange was taking place in the Lemnos River, not far from Tarsus. The exchange did not include the high-ranking officials, 42 in total, who, after being imprisoned in Tarsus for 7 years, were transferred to Sana'a, the capital of the caliphate, where they would decide whether to convert to Islam or to choose execution. The distinction between prominent or not by them time is clear, as he did not hesitate to order the exemplary execution of 6,000 Byzantine prisoners, ordinary soldiers, because a small group had escaped while killing a few Arab soldiers. Prominent military men who did not embrace Islam did not escape the hardships of capture and were eventually executed. Aitana Kolyadermidzaki, 2002, The Execution of the 42 Martyrs of Emoan. Proposing an interpretation, Al-Mesak 14 Hafs, page 141-162. This execution, however, is not the usual practice and is attributed to a demonstration of power, retaliation and symbolism. Likaki, Les Prisoniers de Guerre, page 265-281. According to the martyrant that narrates their martyrdom, the Arabs sought to break the physical and moral strength of the Byzantine soldiers through the nightmarish conditions of their imprisonment. The last blow that would shatter their valor was their belief, which they were invited to renounce in return for their freedom. Even the method of execution was recorded in the context of the policy of the then Caliph Al-Wahri, mainly on religious issues. News of the execution was widely spread, so that a large crowd of Muslims and Christians gathered to watch, while the presence of the Caliph himself conveyed particular significance. The 42 eminent Byzantine officers were declared martyrs a year after their martyrdom. The texts do not refer to Etius, general of the Anatoly Khan, who was executed almost a year after his captivity. Our knowledge of the tragic consequences is evidenced by the text of Manlevodius. F. Thimiadis, 1989. D. A. Saya. Tat. Micro. T. E. T. Micro. Athens, page 31. Also see Chronographe e Corthetvanis Continuae Nomin Fratella Libria 124, Editor M. Featherston, J. Cygnus Ketanis EFHB 53, Berlin 2015, hereafter. Thepf. Kent. Featherston, Cygnus Kedani, page 188-192. Writing a text intended to praise the saints entails the weakness of exaggeration and the subjective narration of the events. Undoubtedly, however, it is a voice of the time. With regard, in fact, to the hagiological texts praising martyrs of the early centuries by giving them superhuman courage, the martyrdom of the 42 martyrs of Emoan places the protagonists closer to their human dimension. 51. Thepf. Kent. Featherston, Cygnus Kedani, page 166. Hymen Magistros 227. For the different versions of the text, C.D. Thomas, -248. Barbara Rochdimer, eds. 2009, Christian Muslim Relations. A Bibliographical History, Volume 1, 602-900, Leiden/Boston, page 846 and A. Keston, 1986, Hagiographical Notes, Byzantium 56, 1986, pages 148-170. Christian teaching has highlighted male characteristics, such as restraint, the bending of wrath and passions. The male identity was given not only through the participation in war but also through restraint and endurance, through the toil in private and public life with the fights of the body, spirit and emotions. The body becomes a battlefield and highlights the virtues. The fact that restraint has an essentially masculine structure led to another consequence. The lack of restraint points to a passive attitude associated with femininity. See also Michael Foucault, 1987, History of Sexuality, Volume 2. The Use of Pleasure, Trans. R. Hurley, New York, 1987. In the whirl of the conflicts of the 10th century, an era of prosperity for the Byzantium, the self-denial of the emperors and Christianity's soldiers was overstated. Although it is essentially a praise of military capabilities and imperial policy, the poem by Theodosius the Deacon and his poem The Siege of Crete, editor N. Panagiotics, 1960 Criticius Reciviletici II, Rutlion, vividly describes the cruelties of Nikephoros Phocas' army when retaking the island. His request for the sanctification of his soldiers foreshadows the future Western Crusade ideology, according to A. Duselli, 1971, Mirror de l'Islam. Musulmans et chrétiens d'Orient au Moyen Age, VXI siècles, Paris, pages 238-239. See also 1. Straites, 2012 Just War and Holy War in the Middle Ages. Rethinking Theory Through the Byzantine Case Study, Jebotteris Strychich and Byzantine Mystic 62, pages 2, 2, 7, 6, 4. The violence of war, which in its just form was legalized by the Byzantine state, was broadly justified and incorporated into Ecclesiastical Teric Moraliolikaki, 2018, audio note, in Greek, Mikro, E, T, E, Spa, Mikro, A, P, T, P, A, P, T, Saya, S. An approach on the Byzantine just war through cases from the Middle Byzantine era, St. A. Ampouchish and others, editors, violence and politics, ideologies, identities, representations, Newcastle upon Tyne, pages 395-408. The honorary place of military saints is evident in the texts, but even more so in art. According to Karaplay, Katrina, 2010, audio note, in Greek, et, d, s, st, at, s, a, p, et, mikras, at, s, a, t, st, at, p, t, p, e micro, 6101081, hereafter. Karaplay. Et. D. S. Athens, the term designates saints that had served in the army before their sanctification, which came only after their death. Since the 10th century, they have been promoted to protectors of the empire and contributors to victory. Also, St. Theodore the Recruit, one of the four patron saints of soldiers along with Saints Demetrios, Mercurius, Procopius and George are depicted in mosaics, frescoes, coinage, seals, illustrations of manuscripts, flags, crowns and many more artifacts. See Karaplay. Et. D. S. Pages 80-132-133. In addition, there are several devotionals dedicated to the military operations of the Byzantine imperial troops. Ptarekush, J. Mossa, 1988, Un office Byzantine in edit pour Sukhoi sent Meritsa Lager, Demsla Cod. Sin. Gr. 734-735, Lemzen, Revue d'Etudes Orientales 101, page 183. Before this office there is another of the 9th century concerning the expedition of the army, C.A. Protusus, 1984, Una Ecolauthia Militatin Edita del Excello, Evan 22, pages 145-168. In addition, in the 10th century is written an office in praise of the Emperor Nicephorus Phocas, see Petit L, 1904, office in edit on the Homer de Nicephor Phocas, Byzantinische Zeitschrift 13, pages 398-420. Through these devotionals, the Church's acceptance of war is expressed as a means of protecting Christians. Kolia Dermidzaki, Athena, 1991, The Byzantine Holy War. The Idea and Propagation of Religious War in Byzantium. Historical Monographs 10, Athens, page 252-253. Kolia Dermidzaki, Athena, 2012 Holy War in Byzantium 20 years later. A question of term definition and interpretation, in J. Kedder and I. Straites, eds. Byzantine War Ideology between Roman Imperial Concept and Christian Religion. 8 Des Internationalen Symposiums, Wien 19-21. May 2011 Astreichische Akademie der Wissenschaften, Geschichten der Philosophie Historische 452, Vienna, pages 121-132. This achieves the formation of a military masculinity where the male model of the Hroya is reconciled with that of the hero saint, protectors of the empire and its inhabitants on earth and in heaven. The notion of religious military struggle and captivity is already expressed by St. Paul. The saint and his companions that are arrested for the action are called by him co-captives, co-soldiers and prisoners of war because they fight for Christianity and the salvation of humans. Salamita J. M. 1999 S. A. Mikra T. Les Compagnons de Captivite de l'Apôtre Paul, in A. Chauvet, M. Matter. A. C. Betrain Dagenberg, Editors, Kersa. Prison et privation de lives dans l'antiquite classique. Actus de Caliqui de Strasbourg, 586 December 1997, Paris, pages 191-210. On the other hand, the manner of dealing with the captive holding the supreme position must have been proportional to the title. We are referring to Emperor Remenes IV Diogenes, who was captured by the Seleucids during the Battle of Massicot in 1071. When historians are not content with general aphorisms on the fighting and strategic ability of various persons, they describe wartime events and criticize specific actions. The description of his capture is probably the most representative of the action of emperors in the battlefield. The emperor, therefore, put on his armor, raised his sword against the enemies, killed many, and put many to flight. As an expert in military and wartime events, and defying the dangers, he put up fierce resistance. But, then, those who were fighting against him, recognized him and encircled him. Wounded, he slid off his horse and was captured Cucumnus, Strategicon, page 282. Etelitz, Historia, page 126-128. See also Brienius, p. 1171522, for the word Oilotos, captured by arms. See the dictionary Liddell, Scott, No. 1961. The incident is also described by Aristakes de Lastivot. Recit des Malheurs de la Nation Armenian, Trans. And Kenland. By M. Canard, H. Barbarian, Bruxelles 1973, hereafter. Aristakes de Lastivot, page 143-146, who almost heartbreakingly describes the Armenians' suffering. However, he devotes his last chapter to the capture of Byzantine Emperor Remenes IV Diogenes. The Emperor of the Romans was led as a war captive to the enemy and his troops dispersed. Few were those who escaped. Most either passed by the edge of the sword or were captured. For the latter, one cannot assume it ended well. The Sultan, however, in a spirit of friendship and sympathy, let Remenes go, to return to his homeland, Aristakes de Lastivot, page 145. The publishers of the sources note that, according to a Syrian source, Remenes IV was captured by a slave of Greek origin belonging to a Turk and whom the emperor had seen at some point in Constantinople. The narration of Michael Etelowitz is particularly interesting, as he recounts the incident by mentioning that Remenes was treated very well by the Sultan. In fact, in a dialogue between the two men, the Sultan asked the Byzantine emperor what he would do if he had captured him. Remenes allegedly replied that he would torture his captive, and the Sultan responded that he would not imitate his cruel and harsh manner. And, indeed, he seems to have treated his opponent with respect for his rank and position. Instead of temporary revenge, he chose to take advantage of the favorable conditions offered by this capture, and so making a truce and in peaceful conditions, they separated. Etelitz, Historia, page 128. According to Etelitz, both buried their dead, and then the Sultan let Remenes return to his homeland, taking with him all the Byzantine soldiers and ambassadors he had asked for. Etelitz, Historia, page 128. After all, what is the ideal male role model for a soldier? A positive conception of a purified idea of the soldier seems to characterize the entire Byzantine period. The soldier assimilates the values of a manhood that is put in the service of society. In fact, his image is revived every time the empire is in danger. Soldiers are given an ideal courage, physical strength, wisdom, ingenuity, courage, sense of justice, self-control, devotion, aversion to money. It could be a soldier like the figure of Digenes Akritis coming from the provincial imaginary, with his moral code and ideals. But even Akritis doesn't have the same heroic characteristics in all textual versions of Digenes Akritis. The Grottafatta and Scorial versions, editor Jeffries, Cambridge 1998, cf. Mrs. Ch. 2006, La construction sociale, les réalités et les représentations de l'identité masculine à Byzance, PhD thesis, Ehes, Paris 2006, 485f. Close to the positive aspects of military virtues is the perception that aims to stigmatize cowardice. The causes of the army's cowardice are more or less the opposite of the reasons for its bravery. The injury and even worse the death of the head of the body or even the rumor that he was killed have a catalytic effect on the morale of his men, as well as his turn to flee, as Leon the Deacon testifies about the incident of Pastelus fainting or Skylites's with the injury of Bedduches Kleros. The descriptions given to the cowards correspond to the opposite of the man, to the woman, since for the writers what is not masculine is feminine. They also characterize the enemy in order to show more clearly the opposition to the Byzantine bravery. Porphyrogenitus reminds, for example, his soldiers that in past campaigns it was like they were fighting against women, audio note, in Greek, p, d, a, ted, a mikra, mikra e, a, HK, Mikrae, H. Ewila, 1967, Undiscours in Edic de Constantin the 7th Porphyrogenet, Travaig set memoirs 2.56. Pointing the lack of military virtues of the enemies. In summary, life as a soldier in the Byzantine army must have varied enormously from century to century as the empire's fortunes changed, and depending on the commanding officers, the type of unit, and so forth. We have very little evidence about individual soldiers, but there is a good deal of information that can be gathered from the wide range of written sources. The masculine ideal of the soldiers absorbed the changes that took place in the Middle Byzantine era as illustrated in the sources. In addition, the Church, embracing soldiers among her saints, added new characteristics in manliness. Hence, the concept of manhood in the Middle Ages has expanded since the early days. Two perceptions prevail about bravery, an aggressive archetype that elevates the pure values of masculinity and finds a response in heroic figures, and a manhood that obeys the social life of the time and corresponds to the type of the faithful man. The study of Byzantine masculinity is a question with serendipitous ramifications that deserves further investigation, within contexts also other than that of warfare, but always in grounded social frames of experience and in different periods of Byzantine Empire's more than thousand-year history.